Good morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Tim Anderson. I am the Director of Student Services here at Mentor Christian School. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it's whatever Frank tells me to do. Ultimately is to work with the kids in discipleship and growing and also the joys of dealing with kids and when they do things wrong. So occasionally, if I stare at you because you're chewing gum, it's because they're not allowed to chew gum, and I'm sorry for that. I won't try to call you out by name if you fall asleep. I won't check if your shirt's tucked in or your belt's on or all that other stuff that we do on a daily basis. But it is a privilege to stand before you. When we left our last ministry to come here, it was the first time in probably 12 or 14 years that Stacy and I got to sit together and just sit in a Sunday service. So it's a little different to be back up here staring at her and not have anybody sit next to her. Her son was fortunate enough, or at least forced enough, to sit with her today so she wasn't all alone. That is enough about me, I guess. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians today. Again, as I count it a privilege to stand in front of you, I think opening God's Word at any given time is that same thing. And in 1 Thessalonians, we see really a charge to the church and really even a compliment of what they are doing. And when it's my opportunity to fill in, this is kind of where we'll go back to is the 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians, as long as it takes to get through that. I know at least next week we'll be back there, and then after that we'll see what the Lord has for it. But again, this chapter gives us a very clear look at what a good church can look like. What a strong church can look like, what it means to be an example to those around you. Again, Paul is writing this letter to encourage the church to stand fast against persecution. He's commanding them to stay strong in the faith and their love and hope. He's also asking them to take charge of their own lives, to do what they need to do to make sure that they are ready. Paul, as he's writing this letter, he wants them to strive to be like Christ. He wants to give them the compliments of being an example to those around them, but yet encourage them to keep that going. Again, I think for us, as we go through this first chapter and as we look over next week and whatever the Lord would have in the future, again, this example, the example that we've been given from Scripture and how it is that we are to live, what it is that we're supposed to do, and as a church, how it is that we are to minister to the people around us. Again, I hope you never take lightly your role as a church member, as someone who attends this church. Again, today, even with a special meeting, and as we look to the future of what the Lord has for this church, it is a privilege to be a part of it. And I want to say this once. I'll say it once today. Actually, I won't say it once. I'll say it over and over again today. But I'll say it over and over again as we go through this. A strong church has strong people who are committed to following God no matter what. Again, a strong church has strong people who are committed to following God no matter what. Is that you? I know this is really early in the sermon to give you an application for you today, but is that you? Does that fit who you are? Does that fit what you're here to do? Does that fit how it is that you're supposed to live your life as a strong member or a strong person of this church that is committed to following God no matter what? Again, this is our challenge, and this is what I hope that you will see out of this first section of 1 Thessalonians. Hopefully you found your way there now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says this, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a strong church, as strong ministers who are faithful to the church. And again, here we see this list. These three that Paul is talking about. These three men stayed faithful. They were committed to it. They're committed to doing what God has asked them to do, to be a part of the church, to stay faithful to it. In Titus, you don't need to turn there, but in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Again, this is what we are called to be. This is the example we see of Paul. This is who he was. And this, even in Titus, is what we are supposed to be. A strong church has people or faithful ministers willing to preach the gospel. That doesn't just mean the pastor. That means those that are teaching Sunday school classes, those that are doing other things, those that will work in VBS, those that each and every day live their life to proclaim truth. Second thing we see, and even from this first verse, is that strong church, they have people in it. Now, that may come across as like a duh. I should have known that, right? But it is. He's writing this letter to people. Paul's writing this to the Thessalonians. He's not just writing it to the leaders of the church. He's not just writing it to the few that would read it. He's writing it to anybody and everybody that's going to read it. And as he is writing this, he is encouraging them, encouraging the people. And we'll see that as we move through this chapter. A strong church, again, has strong people who are committed to following God no matter what. And in that, it is important for us, those people, to live this out each and every day. And again, as Paul writes this in the first verse, he is writing this to them, to the church of the Thessalonians, and to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see that grace and peace be to you. Dan, as he was going through Colossians, talked about how Paul opens up almost every one of his letters in this way, a few that he doesn't. But again, this idea that the grace and peace be given to them. A strong church is founded upon God and who he is and what God does for us. A strong church is rooted in God, built upon his foundation. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, and built upon the foundation and the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Again, a strong church is built upon Christ. And they develop this understanding of what it means to have this grace and peace as he showed us. Grace, it means this undeserved favor and blessing from God. Again, in order to be a strong church, you need to have this grace towards the people around us. To be able to be a strong church, you need to be found with favor with God. Peace means to be assured and confident and secure in the love and the care of God. Again, knowing God, knowing what he has for us. God has provided strength to sustain, delivers and encourages us, empowers us, gives us all that we need. And why do we need it? Because we live in an awful world. We live in an awful place where all that is being seen, everything that is going around, everything that we see in the world today takes us away from what God has for us. Romans chapter 8 reminds us of this. It says, Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be a carnal-minded, death, but to be spiritually minded is to have life and peace, because the carnal mind is an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Again, so when Paul reminds them or greets them with this grace and this peace and understanding where it comes from, understanding what it is for us. Again, the first verse, there's so much to unpack here, even in what we as a church are supposed to be. Again, many churches lack the strength to stand up for what is right. Many churches lack the ministers who are there to preach, to give truth. Many churches lack that grace and peace that is shown to them. And there are so many things here that can weaken a church. And we can't afford to be that church. Again, as you hear this statement or this phrase of a strong church, what that looks like. To be a strong church has strong people committed to following God no matter what. And we see this in the church of Thessalonica. We see this as they live their life. And going on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Here he is, Paul, following this up. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now again, this is Paul writing to the church and in his letter saying, we are praying for you. My first ministry, I was in North Carolina. It was church-school combination as well. I didn't really have anything to do with the school at that time. I was just the youth pastor of this. And one of the things that our senior pastor, the senior pastor, told me, he said there was a time when the people of the church, the elderly especially, when they started to pass away, he could feel that those prayer warriors that he had had forever falling away. And he felt that we needed to engage the younger congregation to be these prayer warriors. And here you are having Paul say, hey, we are praying for you daily. We are giving it up to God for you.
You know the encouragement that comes from this group of people that, again, are living through persecution or are living through hard times or are living through all these difficult things? When Paul says we are praying for you, again, I think it's also a reminder to us that a strong church has people who pray. Pray for their leaders. Pray for their friends and family. On the back of our bulletin, we've been going through this list of people in our membership that we pray for each and every week. To pray for one another, to pray for our community, to pray for our government, to pray. Again, a strong church has people who pray. And Paul, being the example of this, says, we pray for you. We are here to encourage you. Paul wants to give thanks for them. Then he goes on in verse 3 and says this, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Again, a strong church has people in it, strong people, committed to following Christ. And you do that in these three ways. This work of the faith, their true faith. When they gave their life to Christ, they were to go out and to do his work, to spread the gospel. Ephesians chapter 6, and you are more than welcome to turn there. I know I often say you don't have to turn there, but it's there, I promise you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, but make sure you hold your finger in 1 Thessalonians because we'll be back. Again, another place for us to see this in Ephesians 6, 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you have been able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Again, this faith. This work of the faith, being able to fight against the things of this world, to be able to fight against the things that are coming after us. Because again, this happens to us on a daily basis. I promise you, the things are coming after you each and every day. And as we have this happen, understanding that our faith is what holds us. Our faith is what carries us through. The next thing he says here is a labor of love. Again, a church should be a church that loves. Now again, I am assuming that you hear that word differently than when I speak to junior high and high schoolers. They hear love and it's like, oh, I love someone. Today, and then tomorrow they don't, and then the next day they do, and it's back and forth. But I hope you understand what this means to love one another, to care for one another. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I have unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Again, if a strong church has strong people committed to following Christ no matter what, then a strong church is going to be people who love one another. And that does not mean just love the ones that are easy to love. Because again, that's easy. It's loving all people. Loving them for their mistakes, loving them in times where, yes, it is hard to love them. But a strong church is to love one another. Why? Because we were loved. Because Christ loved us so much so that he sent his only son to die for you and me. Again, we didn't deserve that. We're not good enough for that on our own. But he did it anyways. And he did it because he loves us. The third part of this statement that he's making here in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is, again, the work of the faith, labor of love, and then the patience of hope. Again, to have this hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be patient means to be steadfast, to persevere in all things. Again, I don't know what your week looked like. I don't know what your month has looked like. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. But I imagine if you're like me, there are things in your life that you need to persevere through, that you need to be patient in. Again, the things that aren't so much fun, the things that are a little more difficult than others, the things that keep us distracted from being this strong person who is committed to following Christ no matter what, the things that distract us from doing what is right. Again, to have this hope of the Lord Jesus Christ and what is to come, to be steadfast, to persevere. Again, when we have the hope of Jesus Christ, we understand that there's something so much better waiting for us. When we have the hope of what is next, of what is to come, to have this strength that sustains us, the strength that keeps us. Again, this world will not be our final home if you are a believer. This world will not be what you have to look forward to most in your life as a believer. What we look forward to most is what is next. And this hope of things to come, this promise of things to come. And again, as Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, he wants them to understand these things. Again, when you accept Jesus Christ, which this group of people had, when they've accepted, and we'll see this here in a few minutes, when Paul came to them and taught them, they accepted it in truth, and they made it real in their life. And when that happens, you can have confidence of what is next. That we now serve a Christ who loves us, cares for us. We now serve a risen Savior, again, who is willing to die for us. And when we understand this, this should stir us to a place of, again, understanding what our faith is, understanding that we are to love one another, and understanding fully that we have a hope of things to come. Like, I don't know about you, but that brings confidence to my everyday. That brings confidence to my everyday so that when I walk through the trials of this world, when we, as we read there, that the shield of faith that would quench the fiery darts, that again, the things that attack us, the things that are really good at coming after us, the things that are really good that are getting through, that are distracting, that are hurting, that are doing all of these things, we can have a confidence in who God is and what He's done for us, and that He has saved us and that He has given us a hope of things to come. Again, first four verses here, three verses really. How well are you doing at this? How well are you doing at accepting this as your role? This is what you are supposed to do. Again, I told you I'd say it over and over again. Hopefully by the end of the day you'll have it memorized. But a strong church has strong people who are committed to following God no matter what. And in that, how well are you doing at being faithful? How well are you doing at ministering to those around you? Again, not just being the preacher, because not all of you are, but to minister to those around you. How well are you doing at showing the grace and the peace that God shows us? How well are you doing at praying for others? How well are you doing at holding on to your faith? How well are you doing at love? How well are you doing at having this hope of what is to come? Again, you are the only one that can answer this. I can't answer it for you. I can tell you in my life, there have been times where I struggle with these things. And when I struggle with these things, I don't become as effective as I should be for the work of the Lord. And if we are committed to being a strong church, a church that is standing on the truth, a church that is standing on the foundation, which is Christ, if we are committed to being a part of that strong church, then we need to be those strong people that are doing these things to help minister to those around us. And this is what he goes on to say in verse 4. Again, a strong church, as Paul came to him, he was the example. It says this, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And then in verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Again, this church, chosen by God, believers, set apart to be different. Look, that is you. If you are here today as a believer, you have been chosen by God to be set apart and different than the people around you. Again, I don't know how to answer that for you, but are you doing that? Sure, on Sunday you come to church and you're around other believers, and it's easy to be a good believer, a good Christian who talks about the Lord and the things that they're doing when you're here. But what about when you're not here? What about when you're not here and you're doing other things and you're with other people? Are you still coming back to that idea, the understanding of what it is that we are here to do? To be set apart, to be different, to be light in this world. Romans chapter 5, 8 gives us this confidence of why we can do this. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look, to stand out as different, to stand out as someone in this world who loves the Lord isn't really all that hard. Because again, this world is awful. This world is not even good in the slightest. This world needs Jesus. And how does the world see Jesus? Through us and what we're doing, through his word that he has given us, through everything that he has made and done and is doing in our lives. Again, to be chosen by God is to be set apart. The fact that he loved us even while we were still sinners, and Christ died for us. And we are called to love one another, to care for one another, to hold each other up in our love and care for them. Again, a proof of a strong church is this idea to be able to love and care for one another. Again, we see in this passage, or in these verses here in verse 5 and 6, it says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit and much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Again, when Paul went to them, he went to them and he lived out what he was saying. He lived out what it was that he was asking them to do. So when they saw him, they saw someone that was living for the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I find it interesting when people want to copy or mimic something else. And it's fun to kind of sit back and watch it sometimes. Right now, our youngest, Owen, is huge into watching Dude Perfect. And again, if you don't know what Dude Perfect is, you can look it up later. It is good. It is, and they are Christian believers, I believe, based off of their testimonies. But he's obsessed with Dude Perfect right now. And everything he does is a trick shot. So if he's throwing something away, and again, if you don't know what Dude Perfect is, they're a group of guys that do nothing but trick shots, and they've made a bunch of money throwing basketballs and footballs into hoops and holes and everything else. It's great. But when Owen walks around, he'll throw something in the garbage. He goes, "Trick shot," and he usually misses, so he's not that good at it yet. So we're working on that part of it. The other day, he told Stacy he was only going to use phrases that the Dude Perfect guys use. Not great, but it's all right, I guess. Could be worse. See, he's imitating what he is seeing. He's imitating what he is watching. And everything he is doing is to be like them. Look, I'm sure that none of you are obsessed with Dude Perfect to that point where this is what you're doing. But what is it that you are imitating? If it's not Christ, you've missed the mark on what you're supposed to be doing. If it's not Christ, you have missed what you are called to be, and that is to be like Christ. Again, a strong church who has strong people who are committed to following Christ no matter what can't afford to have people in it that are doing anything else other than what Christ would have them do. And this is what Paul is saying. He's like, "I came to you, I preached to you, not just in word only, but I showed you how it was that you were supposed to be. I lived a life in how you were supposed to live." And yet so many times churches are full of people doing things that are not like Christ. Churches are full of people who are living for themselves only, who are doing what they want to do. So often churches fall short of doing what they're supposed to do because they're more worried about what is good for them than what is good for everyone, to love all and to stand out as different. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." Do you know why you don't have to be ashamed to be a Christian? Do you know why you don't have to be ashamed to do what is right? It is because the gospel of Christ has the power to save. And that is what you are proclaiming, and that is what you are living when you are a strong person in a strong church committed to following Christ. How well are you doing at this? To not be ashamed of the gospel. Again, Paul preached this message with authority, with power. Paul was preaching, and as they received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that would come, that would guide, that would work, that would influence in their lives, that would bring them to the place, again, of each and every day, being able to be more like Christ, to be imitators of Christ and not this world. Paul, as he is preaching this assurance, he understands their need to know that no matter what is happening, no matter what you are going through, and he says this in verse 6, he says, "And you became followers of us, and of the Lord, and having received the word in much affliction with joy and Holy Spirit. Again, there was a lot going on at this time. The church was not just being met with friendly people everywhere they went. They were being persecuted. They were being pushed down. They had to every day stand up for what they believed to be true. Again, not much different than what we are today. This morning we talked about it in Sunday school, and here's another one of those disclaimers. If you're not in Sunday school, get there. It's good. You'll enjoy it. But one of the things that we talked about this morning is that, again, we don't have it that bad here. We might be persecuted in a way where people don't like us or they might reject us. There's the occasion where you might lose your job, but that is nothing in compared to what other people in other parts of the world have to go through. When they stand up for what is true, when they stand up for their faith, their persecution is real, to the point of even losing their life. And yet so many times we want to sit back and say, I'm not going to do that because somebody might not like me. Boy, that is missing the mark of being that strong person inside of a strong church who's committed to following Christ no matter what. Look, Paul wanted to encourage them. You receive this through much affliction. You receive this with joy and of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is what we have now as believers. We have the opportunity to live this way, as followers of Christ, to be imitators of him, to be like him. Paul was not wanting them to be like him, Paul, but Paul was wanting them to be like him, Christ. He says, you saw us come, you saw us live, but we were only doing this to show you Christ. And this is what we're to do every day. Again, Owen, he loves Dude Perfect, wants everything to do with Dude Perfect, but I'd much rather have him see me as a follower of Christ rather than some guy who throws a basketball through a hoop. Again, this is our responsibility to the people around us. Show Christ. Be those people who go out to do this. And we see this in the church of Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. It says this, after he's encouraged them of all that they've done, he goes on and says this, so that you became examples to all that were in Macedonia and Arcadia, who believed. For from you the word of the Lord was sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Arcadia, but also to every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Boy, wouldn't that be great if that could be said about you and me? Paul is saying you have done everything you were supposed to do. You have lived every way you were supposed to live. You have done it well. So much so that you guys are good. Again, the church of Thessalonica definitely was not perfect. And you will see it other times where he is encouraging them to do what is right. But at this point, at this time, and what the church was going through, he was congratulating them. He was encouraging them that the things that they had done were good. They were so good, so much so, that who they were and what they were doing had gone out and had spread to every place. It says that your faith towards God has gone out, that we do not need to say anything. Again, their faith that allowed them to overcome the persecution, their faith that allowed them to overcome all the things that were happening in their life, the church itself stood against it, the people inside of it were standing against it, and together they were seen throughout all of the area as a strong church, as a church that could be looked at to be an example of, and this is how we are to live. Again, I would love it if someone were to say to me at some point in my life, you know what? You've done a really good job. I don't even need to tell you anything else to do. That has not happened yet in my life. I'm still striving for that. Again, that is our goal. As believers, to do what we are called to do, to live how we are called to live, to be this example to the people around us. How well are you doing at this? Again, they became examples. They had listened to the word of God, and they had allowed the word of God to affect change in their life. Scripture tells us that the word of God is living, that it is active, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. even piercing the joints and the marrow. Again, able to pierce those things. Again, the Word of God is meant to affect change on your life. Are you listening to the Word of God? Are you listening to what it has to say for us? Again, the Word of God has this to say to us out of James. James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. To lay aside all of the filthiness, all of the things of this world. And again, we as Christians get caught up in this at times. We get caught up in being a part of the world and saying the things that the world say, talking like the world talks, listening to what the world listens to. And we get so consumed with that that we forget that we are supposed to lay aside the things of this world and be different than the world that we are living in. It says, and to receive with meekness the implanted word. Again, the word of God that is able to change you, to affect you, to make you different today than when you were yesterday. So much so, as what James 1:21 tells us, it is able to save your soul. This is the word of God that we are supposed to be every day allowing to affect change in our life. This word of God is what every day we ought to be basing our every decision off of. This word of God is what we ought to be living every day to be a strong person that can then be a part of a strong church who is committed to following Christ no matter what. Again, we do have it pretty easy here in America. We're allowed to have our doors open on a Sunday morning. We're allowed to publicly meet. We're allowed to do these things, but I don't want you to ever lose the importance of what it means to go out and to share the gospel and to stand up for what is true. To live a life that is set apart. Again, this is what the church of Thessalonica was doing. It's sent forth. They'd done all of these things. Their faith towards God has gone out. And again, they were proclaiming the word. They were not bashful. They were not ashamed of what the word of God did in their life. They did it and understood what it was that God had done in their lives and how he had changed them. And the people were doing this. The church became stronger. And as the church became stronger, the message of the gospel became louder. And the things around them, again, they were able to share the truth. They were able to look to their community and share the gospel because they were a group of people that was committed to following Christ no matter what. They were able to share what was true because they believed what was true. They were able to share what was true because they were acting in truth and in love. They were able to do all of these things, so much so that they had become the example of how others should do it. Again, I'm not asking you to become the perfect person because you can't be. I'm not asking you to be that you are the only one that can ever be an example for this church or for Christ around you in your community. What I am asking you to do is be different than the world. Be different than the people around you that don't live for Christ. Be different so much so that people see Christ in you. Be different so much so that when people look at you, they don't see anything else other than Christ and what he has done in your life. This is what the church had done. Regardless of what the world had done to them, regardless of the persecution that they had seen, regardless of the things that had happened poorly in their life, they were willing to stand up for the truth. Regardless of the challenges that we all go through, we are to stand up for the truth. We are to be those strong people that are committed to following Christ no matter what. The last thing here that we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says this, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols and serving the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. And the fact that this church was able to thrive in a time of persecution was amazing. The fact that these people in this church were willing to turn from their idols, turn from what they wanted to do, and turn to God was amazing. But again, this was their testimony. This is what they stood out to be different. They had turned from God, or turned to God from idols. They understood what it was that they were doing was wrong, and they went to what was true, what was right. Are you doing the same thing in your life? Now, again, I wouldn't imagine that any of you have idols in your house that you're worshiping on a daily basis. But think of the other things in your life that could be idols. The things that you count more important than Christ. The things that you spend more time doing those than serving the Lord and living for Him. Again, to turn from the things that we want to do. So often we want to be right. We want to be heard. We want everything to be done the way we want it to be done, and so much so that we have lost track that that's not really what we're called here to do. We're not called here to always be right. We're called here to be like Christ. Again, so often we fight the battles that we don't need to fight, to get rid of the idols in our life that we don't need to have, to keep us focused on God and not focused on all the other things in this world. The believers had turned from their idols. They had turned to God because of the promise of what He was going to do for them. Again, as Paul is preaching this truth to them, the gospel, the truth is that once you are a believer, once you recognize that you have a need, again, what Romans tells us, that all have sinned, all have fallen short, not one of us is good enough on our own to get to heaven. And this is what they understood to be true in their life, that they had a need, and the only way that need was going to be filled was by accepting Christ and putting their faith and trust in Him. Again, the same is true for us today. And if you're here today as a non-believer, if you're here today wondering how it is that I'm supposed to live, this is for you. You're a sinner. You are lost. You are on your way to hell. And I say that to you because I love you. And I care for you. And I want you to know the truth of what God's Word says. As a sinner, as a non-believing sinner, right? Because we're all still sinners, even as believers. You are on your way to hell. But God, right? He loved us so much so that while we were still sinners, He sent His own Son to die for us. This is what the church of Thessalonica understood in a very real way. And when they turned from the idols of the world, when they turned from the distractions of the world and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they were now different. And they now had a promise of what was coming for them. A promise that He would return. A promise that this was not their home. A promise that if they, again, accepted Jesus Christ, that Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 is real for them. It says this, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, that the Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." Again, this is what we have, is having the full scriptures in front of us. We can see what the church of Thessalonica had been promised, and we can read it out of the book of Philippians for us. The same is true. Again, they understood what Romans is saying to us today, that we are all sinners, that we are all on our way to hell. But God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for us. And in doing that, we have the ability to confess our sins. It says to believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, and believe in Him, that He has raised Him from the dead. It says you will be saved. And in doing that, you now recognize that this place, this world, is not your home. This world is not where you will spend eternity. This world, there is so much better waiting for us than this world, than this body. And praise the Lord for that, right? Praise the Lord that we have something waiting for us that is so much better than what we have here today. And the believers of Thessalonica believed this. They believed these things to be true, and they turned from what they were doing, and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Again, today, if you are a believer, then you are supposed to be a part of this statement. You are supposed to be a part of a strong church who has strong people who are committed to following Christ no matter what. If you are a believer here today, that's where you fall. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That is how you're supposed to be living. And you are supposed to look at the church of Thessalonica as an example of how to live and what to do and when to do it. Now today, if you are here and you are not a believer, then you need to do what the church of Thessalonica did when Paul came to preach to them. And no, I'm not comparing myself to Paul. But I am telling you the truth of what God's word is telling you. That if you're sitting here today as a non-believer, if you're sitting here today, maybe you have heard it over and over again, maybe today you're wondering what is different about it today. Today, I would hope and pray that you would put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That you would start the process of becoming a part of this family, this universal family, this believers that are living, committed to being more like Christ and following him no matter what. Again, where do you fall in this? As we have opportunities to continue to look at the example of Thessalonica, I hope that you remember this. Look, they had a lot going on in their life. They had a lot of things that were against them. They had a lot of things that they had to turn away from. They had a lot of people coming up against them. But they were willing to do it. And in doing it, they stood out as different. And in standing out as different, they were recognized and thanked for all that they were doing to further the gospel, to further the truth of Jesus Christ. This is what we, as believers, are supposed to be doing. Again, no longer allowing the world to distract us, no longer allowing the world to take away from us, but to be a part of a strong church. Again, a strong church has strong people who are committed to following Christ no matter what. That means you're every day. That means in everything that you do, that you are following Christ no matter what. And if you put everything that you are doing through that filter, through that lens, how well are you doing? Again, I cannot be the judge for you. But the good part is that you as a believer have been given God's word to help guide, to help illustrate, to help show you how it is that you are to live, how it is that you are to respond to people, what it is that you are supposed to do to be a part of a strong church, to be a strong person inside of that who is totally committed to following the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Lord, we don't ever have to question it, that we don't ever have to wonder what it is really saying. But Lord, that your word is clear. That if we are here today not knowing you, if we are here, if someone is here today as a non-believer, today is the day that they need to put their faith and trust in you. Today is the day that they accept you as their personal Savior. Today is the day that they recognize that on their own they will never be good enough. That on their own they could never do enough good. And Lord, let today be the day that they again confess with their mouth their need for you, believe in their heart that you are who you say you are, that you did raise your Son from the dead to give us salvation. And in that, Scripture tells us very clearly, and they will be saved. Lord, for those of us that are believers, help us to use the example of the Thessalonians to be different, to be set apart, to not allow the things of this world to control us, to not allow our own desires, our own wants, our own pride, our own issues to take over our life. Lord, as believers, help us to be committed to being a part of this church, a strong church with strong people committed following you no matter what. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to again speak your words, not mine. Let it all be done in a way to bring honor and glory to you. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.